49er fans, game day is finally here. It's time to answer your pregame questions in a segment that we like to call Teddy Football. Here to answer your questions is the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Ted Robinson.
We're back with another edition of Teddy Football. Scott Kegley with the voice of the San Francisco 49ers, Ted Robinson. And Ted, it's a Sunday day game, but they don't get much bigger than this one. NFC West battle and two of the best teams in the NFC. And you can say so much about this rivalry, and it comes down to just a good, hard-nosed football game at the end of the day.
Well, we say this, Scott. Now, Jim Harbaugh wouldn't, the players wouldn't, but these are the two biggest games of the regular season, the two games between the 49ers and the Seahawks. These are the two best teams in the NFC coming into the season. The 49ers have the Super Bowl as their goal this year. The Seahawks can win the division championship. That's not the same as it, for example, as in baseball, but it would still be a nice achievement since the 49ers have won it the last 2 years. The Seahawks can clinch it Sunday on the field at the stick. You know the 49ers don't want that. The reality is that the Seahawks are almost assured of winning the division, which means the NFC championship game is going to go through Seattle somewhere. Somebody's going to have to go there and beat them. So all that factors together to say it's huge. And I really believe, Scott, that the 49ers, they don't need to win this game. Mm-hmm. You know, you want to win it. You don't need to win it. It's not going to knock them out of the postseason if they don't. It's not going to guarantee them a postseason if they do. But it's credibility. Mm-hmm. Internal, for sure, knowing that Seattle doesn't own them. External, that as a postseason team, if the 49ers win this game, people will still – in the postseason, we'll have to respect the 49ers' chances. If Seattle wins this game and the 49ers get to the postseason, I think there'll be an external response that, okay, they're in the postseason again, which is a great achievement, but they can't beat Seattle. Mm-hmm. I think that's what today's game, Sunday's game, is all about.
Yeah, and you know Candlestick's going to be rocking, and if anybody's going to beat Seattle, Ted, you'd think it's a team like the 49ers that can be balanced and can do a lot of different things on offense and running and throwing. And we saw that last week with the emergence of Crabtree, kind of some big chunks, as you even talked about in previous weeks on the podcast, the ability to stretch the field. And now when you think of Crabtree and you think of Manningham and Davis and Frank Gore, there's tons of weapons on this team.
And it was Scott, there was a play in the second quarter touchdown drive last week where it was the third down play in the St. Louis red zone. And on the wide side of the field, you had Vernon Davis, Anquan Boldin, Michael Crabtree in a row all lined up. And I hit me. I was like, man, we've been waiting a long time to see that. But I'll be honest with you. I think this game is going to be much closer to the Thursday night game on the Candlestick Field last season. That was, I think 13-6 was the score. That's what I think this game is going to be like. These two defenses are too good. And I can't see either team racking up a ton on the other. And I think, quite frankly, the 49ers' chances to win this game really hinge on the defense continuing to play at this very high level and Candlestick being something. It's not going to be Seattle. Nothing is going to be the Seattle atmosphere. But if the faithful are loud and Candlestick really rocks, and I keep going back to the New Orleans playoff game, which was the best experience I've had with the 49ers at Candlestick. If the stadium atmosphere can resemble that, then that's going to be a huge lift.
Yeah, and if you like some good hard-nosed football, 60s, 70s, 80s type of football, this is going to be the game for you. Well, Ted, we take questions from Twitter each and every week, and Marlon on Twitter wrote in using the hashtag TeddyFootball, said, do you see the passing attack up more this week, or is it the ground and pound? How can the 49ers really attack Seattle?
Well, Scott, I don't see this as being a game where the 49ers are going to really be able to rack up a ton of yards in either category exclusively. I think this is going to be a game where you try to piece together just enough quality runs, enough quality throws, basically important plays. And if you can put the ball in the end zone twice, if the 49ers can score two touchdowns against the Seattle defense, I think that's a really good achievement. I think Seattle would feel the same way about the 49er defense. If they can score twice, I think either team would feel like they'd win the game. Mm-hmm. So if you're on the 49ers side, I want to see if I can get the ball in the end zone twice and trust that my defense, and it's going to be much like the 2011 team, trust that my defense and my special teams will be good enough to make those two end zone trips count. And I don't have any delusions that, look, this is the 49ers are going to line up and they're going to have to try to establish a run game. We don't know who yet for sure who's going to play on the O-line, but that's going to be a challenge. Mm-hmm. The way Seattle matches up defensively against the 49ers, we've seen it. It's tough to throw. It is going to be tough to throw for a lot against Seattle, even with their secondary a little bit diminished. Their front is very good. They're so fast. Their linebackers are fast. It's going to be hard. I would think there's a chance to hurt the Seahawks with some underneath throws in the and I'm not talking about necessarily screens or anything like that, but just underneath 8-yard routes, middle of the field. I don't think you're going to be able to see anybody go, and the wide receivers have a huge game against Sherman and even this Maxwell who's been playing, who's been pretty nice. There's nothing in a track record to indicate that that would be something to expect.
Yeah, well, you mentioned Maxwell and some of the players are a little bit depleted in that secondary, Ted. And Tiny on Twitter wanted to know, how can we take advantage of having no Browner on Sunday?
Yeah, and I get it, Tiny. I don't think it's the absence of Browner as much as Seattle, since the first game now, has Irvin back as their, you know, probably the closest thing to Aldon Smith that Seattle has. But they've got, just as the Rams did last weekend, you saw how much pressure their defensive linemen, or defensive ends rather, Quinn and Long put on. Well, you're going to see the same thing with Seattle, with Clemens and Averill. I mean, these guys are fierce pass rushers. And so the challenge for the 49ers is going to be to give Kaepernick enough time, which also comes back to my thought that I think the pass game is going to be quicker hits, shorter routes. I don't think you're going to see a lot of downfield stuff. I don't think you're going to have the time to develop downfield routes. And I don't suspect Seattle changes their plan at all. Richard Sherman and Maxwell, or whoever the other corner is, are right up on the line. They're going to bump the receivers the second they get off the line of scrimmage. And I think the other key for this for the 49ers is Vernon Davis. Vernon got knocked out in the game in Seattle last year, and he got hurt in the Seattle game early this year. And the 49ers need Vernon. The 49ers have to have Vernon on the field and being a factor. And I've got to believe that Chancellor, who's about a 700-pound safety, is going to be a sign to make Vernon aware that he's on the field in the first quarter again. So I think that's going to be important for the 49ers. Keep Vernon out there and have him be able to impact the game.
Absolutely. And last question from Twitter, Ted. David Blanco wants to know, what are the chances the Seahawks have a letdown coming off a 7-game winning streak? So last one was against the Indianapolis Colts. It's been a while for Seattle, and they're used to winning. I don't think there's going to be too many letdowns against an NFC West opponent.
So, David, that is the easiest tweet that I've had to answer all year. The answer, chances of a Seattle letdown are 0.0%. This is the Seahawks. And I've used this analogy this week, Scott. This rivalry, Seahawks 49ers, the 49ers are the Dodgers. The Seahawks are the Giants. This rivalry means a lot more in Seattle. They haven't never won a Super Bowl. They've only been to one in 40 years. They look at the 49ers and they want what the 49ers have. They want some of the trophies that are out here in the lobby of 49-49. The 49ers have won the division the last 2 years. They've been to the Super Bowl. They've been to two straight championships. Seattle hasn't done any of that yet. So that's a big thing. And, you know, then extend it to the coaches. Pete Carroll have a letdown against Jim Harbaugh. Not seeing that one happening either. So the answer, no. The Seahawks, and as sweet as winning the division, which Seattle's likely to do, is going to be, how much sweeter would it be for them to do it on the 49ers field?
Yeah, absolutely. For them, and I think the 49ers faithful and the 49ers team down on the field are going to have a lot to say about that. It's going to be a tough place to play. And, you know, it always comes down to play in the trenches. And, you know, Alex Boone shifting out there to left tackle did a great job last week. And lots going to be put on those guys' shoulders.
Well, and you know, honestly, that's something Seattle spent much of the season playing without their two tackles. Mm-hmm. You know, Russell Okung, their great left tackle, got hurt against the 49ers, and he's just coming back just the last week or two. So, you know, Seattle's dealt with this. Their offensive line has been filled with patching and replacing, and they've survived it. I mean, they've thrived with it. My gosh, they've only lost one game this year. So what the 49ers did last Sunday with Alex shifting and Joe Looney stepping in and playing so well and Kilgore being there to play and Adam Snyder in the game playing, you know, that's what you have a team to do. And a great coaching staff has players in the bullpen, to use another baseball term, ready to go. So I don't see that today as being the major issue. The guys, the five guys that are out there are going to have to handle a really good defensive front and give Frank Gore and Kendall Hunter enough room to run.
Well, thanks so much, Ted. And it's going to be a cold game on Sunday, too. Forecast maybe around 46. It's going to be a black and blue game with that hard-hitting defense. It's good football weather, right?
Well, black and blue on the field and red everywhere else. So be loud and be proud, faithful.